We're in the book of Ephesians today, the book of Ephesians, and chapter 2, and we'll be starting at verse 11, verse 11 of chapter 2 of Ephesians. Now, the title of this section of Scripture from chapter 11 to the end of the chapter in chapter 2 is really United and Equal in Christ. That's a little deal that my Bible put in there as a subject, and it's a good way to put it, because this actually speaks about how all are one. There's no difference between male or female, Jew or Greek in the Lord Jesus Christ. He did come to die for the whole world and to forgive the sin of the whole world. So as many then as respond to him and receive him, he gives power to become the children of God. And so that's really the subject we're looking at today. Now, it says, therefore remember. Now, the therefore refers back to verse 10. And in verse 10, it says that we are his workmanship. His poema is the Greek. We're his poem. And he is creating us in Christ Jesus. He has created us in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So there's a plan, there's a plot, there's a reason for our existence in the Lord. Therefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, and a Gentile is a non-Jew, who are called uncircumcision, because it goes on and says, by that which is called the circumcision is made, is flesh made by hands. And so the circumcision are the Jewish people. Circumcision was a part of a covenant that God made with Israel, that the men should be circumcised, and that actually bringing forth the fact that they belong to the Lord. It represented, as we're given in the New Testament in Romans, the circumcision of the heart, is to really cut away the fleshly things of the heart. And we know as Gentiles or nations of the world through the years, they were all caught up, and you and I too, before we came to Jesus in the flesh and actually doing the things of the world. But now we're found in Christ. That at the time you were without Christ, at that time when you're just walking in the flesh, you're without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That God had called Israel as a small nation years ago to be his people. And we want to be grafted into that blessing and those promises. But as Gentiles in the flesh and going after the things of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, these things are not of the Father, but they're of the world. We were strangers from or aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Oh, I don't know how people get by without hope. And we've got Jesus, amen? And he's the hope. Jesus Christ in you is the hope of glory. And without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you are sometimes far off. That is being apart from the ordinance and the Ten Commandments that were given to Israel, and all the glorious miracles that God did, the opening of the Red Sea and the Jordan River. You were sometimes afar off or made near, how? By the blood of Christ. That's how we're made near with those that were being near through the years in the covenants of Israel. For he is our peace, who has made both one, that is Israel and Gentiles, one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, in the temple, the Jewish temple built by Solomon, a beautiful temple, there was a wall, a very thick wall. And that wall separated the court of the Gentiles, where the non-Jewish people would go when they would come to the temple, and all the rest of the temple area, where the priests would go, the Jewish priests, and the Jewish people. And that wall was there. That wall was thick. But God, through Christ, has broken down that middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh, dying on the cross, the enmity or the angst or anger, the idea of being anti-Semitic or the Jewish people not eating with the Gentiles. All of this is broken down in Christ, having abolished that, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in him of two one new man, one new man, so making peace. Now this Greek word for new means something completely unlike what it was before. Something completely unlike what it was before. We call it repentance, and the Bible calls it repentance. I'm going this way, and after I meet Christ and become new, then I'm going that way, a whole 180 degree turn. And that is so wonderful that God can do that. Is actually, you can take a saved Jew and a saved Arab, and you can put them together. I love this piece that, I can't remember which conference it was that Pastor George, who is our minister to the Muslims, did, but there was a picture that I saw on one of these videos of a Palestinian terrorist that had come to Christ and a Jewish man that had come to Christ walking together down the street, laughing and talking to one another and sharing their testimony. And only Jesus can do that. And oh my, the blood of Christ, how the blood of Christ can save anyone and put people together and make it completely different than it ever was before. And that he might reconcile both unto God in the one body. How? By the cross. Having slain the enmity, again the angst or anger thereby, and came and preached peace. And this Greek word for preached here is to bring or announce good news. Oh, it is good news. Reconciliation to God, our God and Savior, and reconciliation with one another, no matter how heavy the rift had been before, is a miracle. And it feels good to just be reconciled, brought back together, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were near, through the ordinances of God. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, no, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. What a beautiful, beautiful thought. Now this word new that I just shared with you from the end of verse 15, I want to enlarge upon that. Let's keep your hand in chapter 2 of Ephesians and go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. And in this group of scripture we're going to look at, ending with verse 21, is really, I believe, one of the most powerful words that God has given on what salvation means. And so let's take 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, just a few books back from where we are in Ephesians. And chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new, and there's that word new creature, a new creation, brand new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become, and again, that word new, brand new in the Lord. And all things are of God, who has reconciled or brought back together us to himself. How? By Jesus Christ. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. This is the reason that when you're saved, you don't get immediately raptured like Enoch in the Old Testament. He walked with God and was not, for God took him. And the reason we're left here is for the ministry of reconciliation. We've been brought back to God through the blood of Jesus, and now we are ordained by God to be an ambassador to other folks to bring them to Christ. And that is the next verse there. As it says that he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses or their sins unto them, no, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation, of bringing folks back to the Lord. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I remember when I learned that little Shirley Temple, I don't know if you ever saw one of her movies from years ago, but she was a little tiny girl with great big curls, and she was a button, and really won the hearts of the people in making movies and things that were really good movies with good points. But she grew up and became an ambassador to the UN. And so she represented the United States of America as an ambassador to the UN. Now, the thing is this, God has made you and I ambassadors to this world. We are ambassadors for Christ. And so we speak for the Lord, and we seek to be an example of the believers, to be an example to the people around us of the things that God would do. What would God do in this situation, whatever situation it might be? And that is a huge, huge witness and drawing card for them to come to Christ also, when they see you in the Spirit walking and doing the right things. And so we're on stage, guys, whether we like it or not. You are the only Bible some folks will ever read. And so they learn that you're a Christian, and observation begins. What are you going to do now? And as I do the right thing in Christ and ask God for help and leadership, then they're going to see who God is and be blessed with that. And so we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Keep close to him. Walk with him. And now here's this verse that I've actually circled in the Bible. I've only circled two verses in the Bible. This is one of them, because this really defines salvation simply and beautifully. For he, that is God, has made him, that is Jesus, to be sin for us. When he hung on the cross, the Bible actually teaches that he became our sin. And that's why we can say, I am crucified with Christ. Because when he was on the cross and they were killing him, they were killing part of me. They were killing my sin on that cross. Yeah, it's so incredibly heavy. For he has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He was tempted in every point, like as we, yet without the sin. And look at the second part of this verse. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God wants to make a trade with you and I. And he has for many of us. I look out and see so many of you Christians. He says, you know what? You give me your sin, and I'll give you my righteousness. Man, who would ever turn down a deal like that? People are doing it every day. And you and I as Christians, when we come into the Lord, we're going, how could that be true? How could they reject Christ? Because Christ is saying, you know what? You give me sin, I'll give you righteousness. What a trade. What a deal. Best deal ever. But oh, they're blinded by these little sins that actually can bring down cities and a whole person's life. Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of stew because he was really hungry. Oh, man. You go, Esau, dumb, capital D, to do that. But he did it. Sold his birthright to be born again for a bowl of stew. But you know, folks today are selling their salvation down the drain for the dumbest sins. And, you know, we don't have to list them. You guys know. A car. To be financially secure. Sex. Drugs. All those things. Just for that. They'll say, no, no, God, I don't want you to take my sin. I am going to go ahead and keep it. And to actually pass by the righteousness of God in Christ. Not a good idea. So, God is just exhorting us not to be like that and to help people to actually see that by the Holy Spirit as God fills us and uses us in our different kind of ministries He'll give. He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. A very wonderful promise. Now, let's go back to Ephesians and look at another word here in verse 19 that we had read already. Fellow citizens, that's who we are. We're not strangers anymore when we come to Christ. We are grafted into the promises of God and to Israel and the blessings of being chosen with Israel. And so we have this fellow citizenship, and we are now of the household of God. And we're going to be with Him one day. Now, there is other scripture that I want to take you to actually enlarge upon and give us a better idea of what it means to be a fellow citizen of heaven and be grafted into the blessings and promises of Israel. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Now, keep your hand in Ephesians 2 again and go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. I love this verse. I love these two verses in Hebrews. They really let us know what's going on and where we're going and how we're living in this world with the protection and the beauty of the Lord. It says to this, you, speaking to Christians, are come unto Mount Zion. Now, Mount Zion is a real mountain, and it's in Israel. You can visit it and walk on it. But also Mount Zion is used in the Bible to speak of the dwelling place of God. And actually, God comes and dwells inside you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. He comes and lives in there and brings Zion with Him. But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. One day, you and I will go to this city. It's called the heavenly Jerusalem. Chapter 21 of Revelation says that John saw the new Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. And it's the dwelling place for the church, the bride of Christ, and our home in heaven. It's a giant cube, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, roughly. It's actually, when you do the math, it's really like 1,400 miles and something, but it's almost 1,500 miles. And then it's 1,500 miles straight up. It's like a giant cube. And I'm going, Lord, that's kind of confusing to me. It's going around my brain. And then I remembered, when we receive our glorious new bodies, from Colossians we're told that, it'll be fashioned after His glorious own resurrection body. And He could ascend and descend. I'm really looking forward to that. And those that pass away before us get to experience that. I just did a wonderful funeral service yesterday, and it's Mickey Servillo, and how she is doing that right now, and being able to do the Peter Pan thing, which is just been a desire of my heart since I was 3 years old. You know, come on, everybody, here we go. I love it. And so the Lord will do that for us as the heavenly city. We get to the heavenly city. Now it says, and to an innumerable company of angels. There are so many angels in heaven, and actually they are sent to earth to minister to the heirs of salvation. That's you. And so you do have a guardian angel. You do. Or maybe some of you have 16 or 17. It depends on your need, I guess. But yes, and we will meet those angels in heaven. In fact, you might meet angels today and not even know it. Chapter 13 of Hebrews says, be careful to entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels unaware. God just erases their wings, and they show up at your house. And this is what that's teaching. Be careful to entertain strangers. Some have entertained angels unaware. I'm really looking forward to get to heaven to see if these two guys that came to our Bible study in the early days are angels. Because we needed a worship leader. No worship leader that night for our Bible study. And there's a knock on the door and there's two guys standing there in white t-shirts. And they had angel wings. No, that part's not true. They just had white t-shirts on. And they said, "We heard there's a Bible study here tonight. Can we join you?" And they come in with guitars. And they lead the worship for us. And they stayed overnight. And Sherry made them eggs in the morning and sent them on their way. And the thing is this, is that we realized afterwards we didn't get much background information on these guys, and we never saw them again. But just that one night. And so I'm just wondering, were these guys angels, you know? Can't wait to see when I get to heaven. What a blessing, what a blessing. And then also we're coming to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers. And we will come to that General Assembly as we come into that place of citizenship in heaven, which are written in heaven. Your name is written down in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. If God calls us and we receive the call and say yes to him, then he justifies us because we believe in the death of Jesus on the cross for us and his blood. And so we are justified. And so this gathering will be people that have been justified, like you and I, when we accept Christ. To these just men made perfect, and that's sanctification, which is very important. God moves in your life to conform you daily to the image of Christ, and then as we get to heaven, we'll be made perfect. The job will be done. And so it's a wonderful thing to think about. Now we're coming also, verse 24 in Hebrews 12, coming also to Jesus. We'll see him face to face, to the mediator of the new covenant in his blood, which was shed for the remission of many sins. Now, all of our sins washed away as Jesus, the mediator, has brought the New Testament to us. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Abel was a shepherd. And he had on his heart to bring sacrifice to God, and he brought the first fruits of his flock. This is all from Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 and 4. And so, actually, that was a foreshadowing of what God would institute later on Mount Sinai through Moses, the sacrificial system, that you would bring a lamb, a goat, or a bull to sacrifice to the Lord, to actually cover your sin. It's the Hebrew word kofar, to cover your sin. But then in the course of time came Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, and he died once and for all and finished it. No more sacrificial system. So the blood that Abel offered, actually the blood of Christ speaks of better things because Jesus took away my sin. He didn't just cover it. He took it away. And those the blood that Abel offered was just pointing toward the eventual death of Christ for us on the cross. And so this is that place of citizenship in heaven that we're expecting and going to. Now, in the end, on this earth, as Jesus Christ returns, all the Jews are going to have the testimony of Jesus Christ. All of them that make it through the tribulation period. We're told that very clearly in Rome in Revelation 12:17. And Romans 11:25 through 27. Let's read that together. And so going back to Romans, now Romans is before the Corinthians. So we go backwards from Ephesians to Romans chapter 11 and verses 25. Look at verse 25. Romans 11 and verse 25. And following. I would not, brothers, have you ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. some folks got real conceited and began to look down on Jewish people. And of course, Hitler is the ultimate example that he called the Jews Christ killers and blamed that all on them and used that excuse to kill them. But we shouldn't ever get anti-Semitic looking down on the Jewish race. That's conceited. That's being prideful. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The Gentiles being the non-Jews. When Jesus Christ returns to the earth to take the church away in the rapture, God's Spirit is going to fall so heavily upon that little nation again. There'll be 144,000 preachers anointed by God to preach the everlasting gospel. And millions of Jews will come to Christ. As I shared from Revelation chapter 12, all of them will have the testimony of Jesus Christ when he returns. And so it says here, and all of Israel shall be saved. All of Israel shall be saved. As is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, Jesus Christ, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And of course, the sins were there on the cross, and they become believers and lovers of the Messiah, the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. And the wall of partition is El Gano forever. No more wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles. In Christ, we're all one, and it's beautiful. And so there it is in the scripture for you. Now, let's go on back to Ephesians 2, and we want to look at verse 20. Verse 20. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The apostles are the New Testament teaching. The prophets are the Old Testament teaching. So this speaks of the oneness. The Old Testament was learnt and practiced by the Jewish people. And we take the New Testament in, looking forward to Jesus and seeing Jesus prophesied all through the Old Testament and also the New. So this is our foundation, the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. No one's to add anything to these things, and no one's to take anything away. Well, if you add to the scriptures, the plagues, and the book of Revelation will be added to you. Woo! Got to be careful about that. And then it says, Jesus Christ, he's the central focal point of this foundation, this spiritual building that God's building. It would be like we're going to say it's here. And he's the chief cornerstone of that building. Now, a chief cornerstone is made to actually set the foundation. So the foundation, the apostles and prophets, Old Testament, New Testament, built upon Jesus Christ as that cornerstone. And in every cornerstone of a building, the foundation is just laid to focal, the focal point is that foundation stone, and actually squares the building. I like that. I read that in a commentary. So that cornerstone that's set there actually squares off the building, gives stability and headship, really, to that building and the strength of that building. And that's our Lord Jesus. And so we are brought together in one body, always and only by the cross. Back in verse 16. And so that's the way it works. The building is complete and will not be complete, actually, until every person who will accept Christ does accept Christ. Then the building is complete and ready to go. And so in the meantime, we are fitly framed together, verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation or a dwelling place of God through the Spirit. So each one of us is really important to this building, really important to make the building complete. And if you and I begin to shrink back, or to go back from the ways of the Lord, the things of God, then, you see, we're hurting that building. Yeah. And if we look at the other imagery that God gives to present this, it's like a body. I need my hand. The eye needs the hand. And the foot needs the hand. I cannot say, and these are scriptures from 1 Corinthians 12, the eye cannot say to the foot. I don't need you. I need you. And you need me. And we need each other as the body of Christ to be fitly joined together. And so this church is an organism of completeness as God just moves on each one of us to be who we are in the Lord. And then our church fitting together with other churches that know Christ. The big thing is you got to be in Christ. And as we are in Christ, the Lord puts us together to work together at this last praise session that we had. There were five churches that came. It was beautiful to bring together the different types of worship and singers and worshipers of God together to do it all in one accord. Of course, in heaven, there'll be trillions and trillions singing together. And David probably leads us for a while, and then Marvin takes over. But it's just going to be great to worship the Lord together. Oh, yeah. Okay, and so with Ephesians 4, I want to give you one more scripture before we do something special today. Ephesians 4, don't worry, we're not going to all stand on our heads. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. This is using the body image here, imagery here. We're to speak the truth in love, and that's hard sometimes. Sometimes you really get mad and you speak the truth. But you got to calm down, get into the spirit of love, and then speak it. That's difficult sometimes. Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. There's that clause again. Fitly joined together and compacted as our cornerstone squares off the building by that which every joint supplies. So each one of us bringing a supply of our gifts and so forth. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part makes increase of the body unto the edifying or the building up of itself in love, operating in the love of the Spirit. So that is what it is. Now, what's happened is Sherry and I also found something on YouTube. Pastor Bill was talking about finding something on YouTube. And this is a video I want to show you. And it's about a girl and her testimony. She's going to share her testimony and tell how Jesus got a hold of her life. And then we're going to actually try to sing with her in this passionate song that she sings for Jesus, and just seeing this whole process as hers a part of the body of Christ and God's work and her life making her brand new, and then flowing out of that vision that God gave her is this wonderful gift that she uses in the singing. Her name is Kim Walker, and so let's play that video and enjoy it. Praise the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful. You know, that's what your gift is like to the Lord also. It's just you have a different call. I don't think I'd have the energy for that. But you know, the Lord just wants us to turn it over. Just turn it over. Turn it over. Turn it over to Him. And let Him do what He wants to do. And you'll get outside your little box and just start ripping for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything today, prayer room's open. May the Lord bless you, give you a great day. May you learn more and more and deeper about the love of God for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.